Hey everyone, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's after show for Billions, where we are reviewing season 3, episode 8, All the Will Berries. Bobby's back, Chuck's back in office again. Is he going to be governor? Is he not? I don't know. And we got some news. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I got drums, guys. Okay, I got guitar too. Don't worry. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Billions After Show. I am joined by my lovely two co-hosts, Kevin Undergaro and Frank Moran. Welcome, welcome.
Hey.
Hello, people. You know, it's interesting opening with Black Sabbath and not the Traveling Wilburys, but you know what? I think it's more appropriate.
Maybe we'll end with it. We'll do like a send-off, another music cue to just take us out.
I question even why they used the Wilbury song they did. I thought they'd use End of the Line, but I guess it was more apropos for the last scene, maybe.
I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe it's a rights issue. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, the Black Sabbath song, I was telling you guys before this, I love as soon as this song comes on and Bobby just whips off his coat and he's wearing a Black Sabbath t-shirt. All the promos they can for a great band. So happy. All right, guys. Well, we have another episode. And Kevin, welcome back. You've been gone for a couple episodes. We've missed
I watched digitally watch you guys. Wish I could have been here, but last week what struck me was how Chuck and Axe both lost such big pieces of themselves. I think Wendy did too, but you really see it with Chuck when he's with his dad and he says I feel as old as you. And then you see Chuck left in that hot tub at the end staring out into space, and neither one of them, I think they're permanently changed, and in this episode we see those changes coming to play, and in a way I didn't see, but we'll talk about that. And I also, unfortunately, I think poor Mr. McAfee, his death warrant is signed. He think his soul was signed. I don't think he's gonna, as we talk about the millennials, Taylor and some of the others that I think are gonna raise Axe Capital or at least provide hope for the financial world, I think he's gonna become collateral damage.
There's something that they won't just go away with that. And you're right, there has been a change, and this episode was very crucial, and we were able to kind of see the two new paths that they're leading down, and if eventually maybe they're gonna end up hitting each other again. Who knows? They have to. But what way is it going to do that? So, initial thoughts, Frank, about this episode. What are you thinking?
What I liked, it was not a smooth transition for either person, kind of going back into their lives. So, Bobby, who wants to be back in control. What I did like is that you see, like, everybody's not like, yes, the captain's back. There are some people that are like, well, we were doing all right. We were doing all right when you weren't here. So interesting that he feels like he just can't just hop in and everybody's just going to just form right around him and make that coalition that he used to have behind him.
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw that happen kind of in Brian Connerty switching over to Rhodes' side. Brian thought he'd come back. Okay, maybe there'll be a little bit of hard feelings, maybe not. What did we think about that firing scene? Do you think that that's going to come and bite Rhodes back in the bum-bum? Because that was very public. That was very aggressive the way
100%.
He did that.
You know, it's about keeping your enemies closer. He let his ego get in the way. Yes, I understand Brian struck a chord when he attacked your wife and your family. However, we keep talking about kings and queens and chess and this, that, and the other thing. That is not, that's a checker's move. To do that, to beat him down in public, that is 100% going to come back and haunt him. And later in the episode, Wendy says, one thing about you, what I love about you, Chuck, is you're a fighter and you hang in till the end and you never give up. Now, go back to that conversation with Connerty and Chuck. And Chuck says, I taught you everything. So now he taught him everything. That being the case, Connerty will hang in to the end, just like Chuck. So, mistake. And again, we keep seeing every week where these guys make these errors or they break off little pieces of their soul, however it is. This one's going to come back to haunt him.
Oh, 1,000%. That's not going away. And you should never do that publicly.
Never.
Whenever I see that in this show, too, we know now, I think, because we know this writing and the style.
It's emotional.
I kind of tense up. I'm like, oh, that's going to come back. That's not going away.
It's an emotional move. Yeah. And you know what? It's just not how you play the game. He had a chance to bring him in and mentor him. Go, okay, listen. Now let's work together. Enough.
Put this behind us.
And you bring that person closer.
That way they don't have any reason to kind of, backstab you and.
Or you get them out of there in a way that isn't confrontational. You even set them up with a really good job at a private firm. I mean, there's just ways, again, I'm not a student of the art of war, but that book talks all about that. It's, you either kind of take care, you know, you either put your enemy to bed, either kill them
or keep them,
or keep them, or even reward them in some way where they're happy in their new wars and battles that now don't involve you.
You don't cut them loose and then just go free for all. Okay, see you later. Like,
Well, he cut them loose and he terrorized him. So I mean, he embarrassed him. Yeah. And you don't do that.
Well, no.
It's certainly Chuck even acknowledges to Wendy how close they were to losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, as Kevin mentioned, I let the ego come into play, where it's like you shouldn't have just done it that publicly.
No, and I think that's where we talk about third place Chuck not getting the trophies. I think that side of him comes up.
He has to be ahead somehow.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, another embarrassing thing that we saw that happens with Chuck now that comes back onto him is him and Wendy. They're trying to go and celebrate their victory of coming out of this crazy mess that was the Bobby/Rhodes mm-hmm. argument and fight. And they are met in their little chambers of sex and dungeon and love, whatever they like to go to. That's my description of it.
It was.
And they're met
love.
There. Yeah, they're met there with Chuck Senior. And Black Jack Foley, that is not someone you would expect to run into there.
Pay attention to the writing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chuck saying, I was floating, I was happy. My morning run, I never run. And now it's, again, there's a juxtaposition for when Axe is talking about running on the treadmill.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll never get off that treadmill until the other.
You're so right,
anyway,
yes.
But what I really picked up was when she said, I was sleeping like a bear cub.
Mm.
Okay? So a bear cub is a baby bear, which is going to grow up to be a big bear. And do you mess with bears? No. Let sleeping bears lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now they've woken Wendy.
And now Wendy's a force to be reckoned with.
Okay.
We've seen that entire episode, yes.
But some of the subtext in this, you know, but Wendy says back to, you know, Chuck, you've earned it in every way, and now you'll pay for it in every way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's light banter between them, but little do we know, he's going to pay for it in every way.
And so basically they're there and they want him to resign as being state's attorney because they wanted to take full control over him being governor and going towards that position.
Does it shock you guys how just low that just Chuck Senior, just his stock just continued to drop lower? I mean, he just gets more and more vile. Like, I thought we were back together.
Yes.
I thought father and son. Okay, you know what, like, we did it. Nope.
Yeah, but look at these people that he surrounds himself with and the people in his life, like Black Jack Foley and all these other influential people that are just looking power-hungry people that want something from everyone else. And so, you know, at the end of the day, yes, he's had these arguments with his son. They're never going to actually be reconciled. And he just wants him to be governor so he can earn something from
him. Can we all consider the flip side?
Mm-hmm.
We're all, like, you know, at this point, we're thinking of Wendy and Chuck and how they feel. Let's flip this. And let's say Black Jack Foley, that's his guy he wants to invest in to win.
Mm-hmm.
Dad wants his son to be governor, wants him to win. And by the way, a father wouldn't want his son to be embarrassed and have this son this stuff exposed. To be going to a dungeon, you are making yourself such an incredible liability that it's almost too late to invest in him.
No, it's true.
So,
yeah.
So now, the way they did it was crass and demeaning. And then I think salt in the wounds was Chuck Senior really being sexist and abusive.
Nasty to Wendy.
And, right, to Wendy. Okay, all just creepy and uncalled for. However, let's back up a little bit. Like, you're not going to be able to run for governor and go to a dungeon. I mean, listen, we have crazy shit going on today with Me Too and all the other stuff that's coming out. But, you know, we still haven't heard about Trump visiting a dungeon every week and having a mistress yet.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I'm not saying it won't happen. But I don't know. You have to see a little bit of the father and Foley side.
I definitely see that side. The father didn't handle it well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1,000%. I see that side. You have to kind of get those skeletons out of the closet and you have to vet whoever your person is.
Frank, do you think that if you were going to run for governor, you could be visioning a dungeon, you know?
Well, you know, what you want to do is you want to become so wealthy that you build your own private dungeon.
But even still, you guys, like, it's
going to come out eventually, yeah.
Well, especially when you have, as I mentioned, a third person in the room that who can be easily compromised, as mm-hmm. they showed, that is willing to turn on them to protect her own interests. So, that is not the smart move. You want to make sure everything's buckled in and airtight if you're going to be making.
But notice
like the
similarities between Senior and Junior, because Senior does the same thing. Instead of being like having a meeting with them at an office. Here's photos. We know what you're doing. This stops now. Because we're not going to win. I'm not investing in you. You're going to lose. And the father goes, you're going to lose. You're going to embarrass your family. You're going to destroy your entire legacy because you're not even going to be able to be a lawyer once this gets out. But no, just like the way Chuck Jr. had to rip apart Connerty,
yeah,
right? And let his emotions get in the way. Oh, Big Dad has to make his move and now backslap them and get revenge on them mm-hmm. for the way they emasculated him. And you know what? Just... Yeah. Faux pas.
Yeah, it goes crazy. But now it's Wendy. Now it's Wendy that's going to, you know, come out. Like you said, the little bear cub is now becoming a big bear. Well, and she tells Rhodes, she gives Rhodes the advice to, hey, no, if you're going to do this, you're going to be governor, then you need to no longer be a lapdog. You need to find a way to get that upper hand and you need to make that power move. And she leads him over to Buffalo Bill.
True. Well, I mean, these are tactics that, you know, you can tell that they've used many times, not just with Chuck Jr., but with many of the people they've dealt with in the past.
Whoa. Spillage. Sorry, everyone.
No, we're good. Play through.
So the only difference between this and other people that have done this to is that other people in the past may have acquiesced to their demands. Mm-hmm. But like Chuck Jr., he's not somebody that's going to do this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have somebody next to him like Wendy that's also going to help him out with that.
Well, but again, she doesn't just say reverse the power dynamic. She says she's so smart. She said Foley has a lot of enemies. Let's find them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, of course, that puts Chuck in action.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this show, and again, it's become the norm, I think, for shows of today where, you know, again, I say this on Game of Thrones, but a lot of writers are, you know, showing the power of perceived weaker people, meaning, you know, if we would perceive in the past women to be the weaker sex, if we were to perceive, you know, someone who was gay or transgender or a cripple or mm-hmm. a little person, you know, just so as you see this lining up, who are the people that I've got my eye on? It's Taylor. It's Wendy, it's Lara, which we'll talk about later, right? So it's all women, but in the meantime, I feel like they're the guys are more like the pawns, and the more this unfolds, it's more the women that are pulling the strings and pulling them wisely. And anyway, I don't want to get ahead because the Wendy Lara confrontation.
Oh, it's crazy, and it's all going to come into play.
Oh,
it does,
and this is the only it's probably the only person that can match.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's power.
Is Lara. Of course. They're both on the evil level with that. So Chuck, we see this entire, basically the first three quarters of the entire episode, whereas, yes, I'm going to run for governor. Okay, yep, I'll leave being a state's attorney. It's fine. I'm going to go meet with Buffalo Bill, make things right. I'm going to get some dirt on Jack Foley. I'm going to use it against him to have my leg up. And then all of a sudden, the judge is waiting for him at his house.
Well, even back up, though, he obeyed Wendy, and he found the crack. When he met with the campaign strategist that Foley put in front of him, and they basically tell him, we're doing everything, we're pulling the strings. He's like, I have no say. Yeah, no say. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll play along. But he gets the key point of information about Mayor Sweeney.
Yeah.
See, that, oh, you know, it's not so good with him and Foley anymore. Boom.
There it is.
Boom.
Yeah.
Now I go to work on...
That's the crack he needed. Yeah,
that's so the crack he needed.
Yeah, that was the, you know, he had that info to kind of bring down Black Jack Foley.
Right, and he goes to Sweeney, and it's like, let's make good, let's make peace, and I'll do this for you, you'll do this for me. Gets him in his pocket. And then it was interesting, the turn that
happens when he comes home and the judge is sitting there at the table.
Right.
And the judge is like, I need my favor. I need my favor now. You know how, like, you're not in jail right now. You know how I was on your side with all of this, protected your family, too.
And remember on episode 3, wherever our after show was,
we predicted that this was going to come back.
I guess it's no big, long prediction. But
we can also high five to it. Let's just high five to it because, you know, whatever. That's fine.
What I liked about that episode, though, Rob Morrow, especially in this episode, is that they mention quiz show at the beginning, and Rob Morrow was in the film Quiz Show, so that was a nice little touch of Charles Van Doren at the top, where he's going to be swatting away all those questions.
You and Kevin, the connections with all those stuff that goes over my head.
I call it the Millennium Translator.
Yeah, there you go.
It's billions meets Millennium
Translator. I like it.
Yes, my Millennium Translator.
And we'll get into some more of those later.
But you know what the surprise... Go ahead.
Just with Rob Morrow, though, I just like... This is a show where if you give your word to somebody, that does have weight, that has stakes, that takes a moment you have to consideration, not something that you can just blow off.
Yeah.
That there is... to give your word.
You have to own, respect that. Respect someone's word, and it's not just words. It
and
means
he's
something.
Got something over his head, too. Mm-hmm. But the twist that was the most interesting to me was normally the Chuck that I know mm-hmm. would be like, okay, this is another guy. We're going to have to roll over.
Yeah.
Think about it. Every time he's threatened, he just finds a way to go around you or crush you, most of the time crush you.
To win, to succeed, yeah.
Right. And it's interesting, once again, Wendy comes in and says to him, you know what? What was this ever all about? Mm-hmm. It was about you practicing law and sticking up for the little guy.
Why did you get into this in the first place? All this other stuff comes and clouds your judgment. Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm really impressed with Chuck. And I see ultimately there's going to be... I'm just going to date myself and I'll say this is going to be Ali Frazier too, mm-hmm. but there's going to be a massive rematch between Chuck and Axe because now Chuck has decided, nope, I'm going back to my grassroots and I'm going to triple down on justice.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking up for the little guy, this, that, that's what I'm about.
Yeah, don't be clouttered by politics or
any
of that stuff.
No more
of
that stuff. I'm going back to what it was always about, which was... taking out the bad guy, helping the little guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on one hand we have that, you know, Axe, who we'll talk about later in the show. What has he doubled and tripled down on? Mm-hmm. No, we need to now make. Let's get $20 billion more. Let's get other people's money. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go so far
even further.
Let's do this the natural gas thing. Like, let's go. And Taylor's like, what? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no.
Slow it down,
it's not enough to be where we are. No, we need to be, like, to the next stratosphere. Mm-hmm. So when you see both of these guys going to these extremes, that one who's going to be about, you know, protecting the little guy, and one who's about, I'm going to stomp every little guy in the world to get what I want and be the biggest guy on the planet.
Crush
Boom.
Again.
But I was Here really, I don't know about you guys, I was impressed that Chuck... did this.
Actually because, made that.
Well, because didn't you think he was going to be, okay, the judge is another guy he's going to have to take out. Mm-hmm. He's gonna have to, he always has to wheel and deal.
Yeah,
and
I
this
think,
is one he didn't.
I didn't, because it felt like it was a favor. He had he made the judge an offer. It's like, you've got a favor whenever you need it.
But true. But the Chuck we know, Frank, always says, fine, I'll do it. Wink, wink. He bullshits everybody for his greater goal. It's always the end justifies the means. Even earlier on in the conversation, with Wendy, he was like, if we're governor, think of all the great things we can do. It's always end justifies the means. But I think she really convinced him. It wasn't just so much about calling in the favor. It was like, hey, what are we fighting for anyway?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I just think there's I kind of see where you're coming from, Frank, though, with the word, because I feel like throughout these three seasons, when someone does say their word, it's not so much the word with a wink and we know it's a word with a wink. When they're just actually like, yes, I will do this for you later because you're doing this for me. It normally always happens and gets done. And so I think we have seen that. So that's why I wasn't so shocked.
Right.
But I also wasn't convinced. It could have gone either way with
but
whatever
you,
outcome
But were you
that
shocked that Chuck didn't, that Chuck bent and said, okay, I'm going to just stay U.S. attorney.
I wasn't shocked. I felt that may be the only way also in my head for storyline purposes for the future to get Bobby and him kind of back together again as well.
And you know, I think from what I just said, it makes perfect sense. But at the same time, if Chuck becomes governor and who knows if he even gets on path to presidency, oh, what a battle they could have.
Yeah.
So, but I like it. I mean, again, I love all the writing on this show. But I love it. I thought I loved that twist. What did you think about when he finally confronts his family? Well, we didn't even talk about, you know, when he goes against Jack Foley.
Yeah, I mean,
he trapped Jack Foley.
We kind of skimmed over that a little, but he traps Jack Foley in the hotel room. He has all his people watching, and he comes in and he says, "Hey, I'm watching you. Now I have the leg up."
But you know, it's like you see Foley goes, "What are you doing?" And you see this initial shock on Foley's face, and he's like, and Chuck lays it out. You know, this is now how it's going to be. I'm the boss. You and your people now work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Foley's just so, you see this man has always been in power. To see him emasculated, it was unbelievable.
It was crazy. Yeah, he sinks back in his chair.
And I was frightened, but I was more frightened, and I still am. I was more frightened for Chuck. I'm like, no, this is not a guy to mess with. Don't do this. This is above your pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Wendy on the side, no, I do bet on him in the end.
With Wendy there, yes.
But you know, but notice how he goes. He said later, frightening. I was frightened for a moment, but damn impressive, downright gubernatorial. You see how fully recollected himself? It goes, fine.
Yeah.
Great deal.
Yeah.
But you see Giamatti's face, the actor playing Chuck, goes, you see his, he won't shake his hand. He's scared.
Of because, what he just did.
Because
yeah.
Foley actually taken at face value. I was frightened for a moment because he's been hit before, collected himself and said, fine.
Yeah.
You're still going to be my guy. I still have 80 skeletons in your closet to expose you when I want.
Yeah.
You're right, big guy. You're the man.
And that's the scary thing now when we come to the end of that, when Chuck announces that he's going to be backing Buffalo Bill for the governorship instead. And his father and Blackjack, they walk out of that room and they're about to leave. And he's like, don't you think this isn't the first time my shoulders have been pinned to the floor? Makes that reference of, yeah, I'm coming for you, boy. I'm coming. That's the thing. It's like what you're talking about, how Chuck now wants to go on this straight path of just doing what he loves. But no, all this other stuff, all this other noise and rumble he's created is going to come down and crash on him.
You've bought and sold too many souls. There's too many skeletons in the closet for that. And listen, long prediction is, I'm sorry, billionaire Jack will join billionaire Axe at some point when they have to do battle.
And come back together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And furthermore, I don't rule out, and again, I don't have anything to base this on, I don't rule out a Lara-Wendy alliance later when they need to for their crazy guys.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm having an alliance with myself?
Tell me.
Is another amazing, wonderful podcast. You guys want to learn and have fun and grow in all areas of your life? If so, we have got the podcast for you, Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life with Chuck Rhodes and Bobby Axelrod and everyone needs on the show and us. Maybe they can listen. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment when you do and let Maria know that the three of us from the Billions AfterBuzz TV show, we sent you there. Please remember to do that. So it's Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Go and check it out.
Holla.
We love it. Okay, let us go on to the other side of the Billions.
Well, before we
shouldn't we
talk Wendy and that? I just think the Chuck Sr. and Wendy was such a big moment that I don't feel like we can't skip over that.
Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'll say you again to the old guy. Superman 2, at the end of the movie, Christopher Reeves, which, by the way, it's not celebrated because of all the unbelievable DC or Marvel movies now. I think it was still one and two are great films for the day. But at the end of the movie, the guy who beat him up early in the film, he gave up his superpowers. Uh-huh. He gets beat up. When he gets his powers back, he saves the world or whatever. But he makes time to go back to the coffee shop where the guy beat him up. To go get his little bit of vengeance, and it was just always a nice moment to me. To me, this moment was, and this moment was even bigger because he was sending her the message: "You're done, old man. I have been taking your shit for probably 20 years.
I own it.
Ends now. Mm-hmm. Okay, you thought you wanted to play games on the mistress or take my clothes off? No, yeah, I am the mistress. I am the boss bitch, and you're my bitch.
Here I am,
and you're done." Mm-hmm. And that last shot of him, it was a wide shot of him just sitting alone on the couch with his robe and just...
his mouth all agape.
I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful moment. Yeah. I was so happy for Wendy.
It was great. And then she uses the exact same line, too, that he used on her. Oh, isn't it hot? Why don't you take that off?
Yep.
Yeah. And,
right back at him.
Yeah, got it right back. Good for her. That's a win in the book for Wendy.
A huge win. Yeah. And
you're right. I'm happy we mentioned
and
that.
And we needed that because last week we saw her sell pieces of her soul. Right? She went places she shouldn't have gone. And her and Chuck, you know, or her and Axe talk about that.
Oh, yeah, she's a different creature now. She wants to sulk and Axe. Yeah, let's talk about that. Axe gives this advice to her that, you know, you can either sit and sulk or you can also realize where you were then and where you are now. You have more power. And now to, like, relish in that.
And
realize.
When you use it, you'll realize that you're in a better place.
Yeah. But I think the difference will be is she'll use the power for positive. For, you know, well, I think she's going to... try to.
Well, I think she's going to be the one that, once again, is just going to save everyone's ass, to be honest with you. I think she's going to be the one that all this craziness happens and she becomes the voice of reason, whether or not she does it in a good way or a bad way. It's going to, she'll fix it.
I don't
she's
know.
She's the fixer.
Taylor's going to have a say in that. Lara's going to have a say in
that. Should we talk about the ladies? Or let's just talk, first of all, Bobby's entrance back into the workforce. He comes into X-Cap and, you know, we have the Black Sabbath song going. We have everyone cheering and clapping, and it's like a rock star just came in. What did you think about that, Frank?
I guess, you know, yeah. Running and getting high fives from everybody. I mean, sure.
You thought it was corny?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I think for X-Cap, for people that... I mean, he has people that look up to him and idolize him. So, you know, that makes sense that, you know,
and those companies, you guys, my friends on Wall Street are just so filled with testosterone. It's all about,
let's do it.
And you can see where the millennials are so, you know, they're not into that as much. You know, some of the, of course, some of the younger millennial guys still are. Boys will be boys. But, and you see the old guard, like Taylor's looking up at the young guard. Taylor's looking up at him, and McAfee. They're kind of like, but the other, but the dollar bills of the world, everyone's so into it. And I just love Sarah's getting up on the table and saying, "Oh, Captain, my Captain."
And he's like, "Get down, Bobby's like, get down."
He is amazing, I'm so glad we don't lose him because the comic relief is amazing.
Yeah, to have him back, afterwards. but so what happens is, so he comes back, he gets a fresh start, right? And what he wants to do, Bobby does, he wants to put he wants them to make $20 billion within 6 months.
We're gonna take that off other people.
Yeah, to grab that money, bring it into the company in 6 months. I mean, $20 billion in 6 months, Kev.
And not
that's
only that,
crazy.
Not only that, he's going to talk them into giving him the they're going to make people beg to give them the money, like he said.
Yeah. So he's coming back. He's coming back full force. He's not sitting around.
Again, so I'm going to give you some. So I'm going to tease you guys with some millennial thing. So Captain, My Captain's from Dead Poets Society. Great Robin Williams movie.
Yes.
If you ever see it, but he brings up the Beatles. And after the Beatles went through some of their shit, and they came back even stronger every 6 months doing a new album. And that's why he's like, we're going to be like the Beatles. And later he references the Beatles.
And George Harrison, episode's named it. Yes.
And this is where we have you. And when Taylor challenges him, rightfully, he's like, he's going to handle like Charles Van Doren. So earlier Frank had mentioned the quiz show and Charles Van Doren. Are you familiar with that?
I am not, no.
So Charles Van Doren was a guy back in the 50s, very good-looking guy, and they gave him the answers, NBC or the producers gave him the answers to the questions because they wanted him to win so America would fall in love with him.
Okay.
Ratings would go up. They had another guy, Herb Stempel, who was a very nebbish, nerdy-looking guy.
And that's why they have all the regulations now in game shows and stuff.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yes, yeah.
But why WAGs... it's a prophetic analogy, but it's also flawed because, you know, Taylor points out, they gave him the answers, but Charles Van Doren got caught, shamed. The guy's still alive, by the way. You know, he's never spoken about it. He's pretty much in hiding. He's just a professor at a small college. Oh, he's completely ashamed. He just shamed to his family, almost brought down NBC and all of game shows. Yeah. I mean, you really don't want Chuck to be Charles Van Doren.
To be that person after, even though he won.
But prophetically speaking, I think he's going to be Charles Van Doren with this.
Because a win doesn't mean that it's an overall success.
No, and again, and where we see these guys continue to double and triple down, right? It's like just when, we're going to go get more money, whatever, and and we're going to shut down we're going to frag the quantum experiment, going to get rid of that.
Get rid of Taylor's whole endeavor, and that causes a lot of friction
and
between the two of
them. It's same with you're splashing water in Connery's face when you chuck. Now you just splashed water in Taylor's face.
In Taylor's face.
And you then, don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that. And then also what you're doing is you're having a meeting with the... the Secretary of Treasury,
I can't even believe
has a meeting, like an underground meeting with all this amazing art and artifacts everywhere.
And it's such, listen, there's so many nods to what's going on in the Trump administration today. You know what I mean?
Everything has to do with it. And they admit it too. The writers admit that too.
I happen to think the natural gas is a wink wink to passing gas and farting and hot air and when you talk about the FERC, that's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that he's now is going to let all the stuff slide. You know, traditionally Republican offices, and certainly a Trump, they usually put no money into environmental issues.
Yeah.
They usually think that that all that stuff is tomfoolery.
Yeah.
That none of that bogus. There's no such thing mm-hmm. as right. And so they're going to lift all this stuff in, and they're always about drilling for oil and all that stuff because it's more money, it's more profit, and it's more jobs, and it's not all wrong. Mm-hmm. But
so this if you makes, have that insider information, you're working in the government.
This makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But you know, but Axe is so like, and he's smart enough to go, whoa, he's got in trouble with the government, but. Again,
but then he goes there because the money is too good.
It's too good. Well, the guy knew. He yeah. said at the end of it, "See, yeah, I don't want to do the deal. I want to do the deal. I didn't want to hear it. Lotta, see you soon, Bobby." Mm-hmm. He knew.
He knew he had him.
Knew he had.
Knew
him.
He had him. And he showed him. He's like, "Look, this is something you can hold over me. I still have this this bank in the Cayman Islands."
Yeah, and here's how we can make it work. Well, you know, mm-hmm. We'll give Axe credit here. He knows he's got to buy Taylor off.
Yeah.
Because he knows this is too big. He's ripped everything away from her. Mm-hmm. So I'll give him credit as a leader for playing the game of chess in order to appease her, and tries to buy her off with a Land Rover.
Yeah.
And, you know, Taylor's so great. It's not for sale.
Yeah.
But what really is meant by that statement is, I'm not for sale.
I'm not for sale. Exactly. You know? I'm not for sale. You can't just come here and throw your money at me. You can't give me more money to invest. I think because Taylor actually cares. Taylor has invested a lot of time and energy in keeping Axe Cap afloat. And then he's just coming back here just kind of like a wild banshee let loose in the jungle. And she's a little bit nervous that it's all maybe going to come back
and
crashing
and
down
again.
And
he is nervous too.
Yeah.
So he's like, what do you need? I need $1 billion
yeah.
of my own fund. No Done.
Yeah.
And again, the power right now of the other lesser characters that you seem to think you know, are younger or less
they're
going to
take over.
I'll take the car too.
Yeah, exactly. That part at the end, I'll take. Oh, I'm no dummy too. You're going to offer me a couple $100,000 car. I will take it myself. But
even when Taylor finds out about the gas deal, which you know, cut to we mm-hmm. hear that they're going to get into business with this gas, which of course is going to be. Again, there's going to be catastrophic problems, and this is exactly what you know Chuck, as U.S. attorney, is going to find out about and fight. And she, Taylor's saying, you're crazy.
And don't do this.
This deal will make us untouchable. So there's a great quote later. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was when Connerty got fired by Chuck. One of the ladies says to Kate, and that's the deal. I have it written down. She uses a quote from The Untouchables, the movie.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was, again, it's just really just clever.
Just beautiful how that happens.
Clever writing.
But Taylor is just, I'm on, whose side are you on? Because I'm on Taylor's side. You need to take caution.
I'm on Taylor's side.
You need to take caution. You can't come in here doing all this. And you have to understand, too, it's Bobby's coming back to work. He's not in a straight head, a straight mind. His home life is in shambles. He's everything happening with Lara and with the kids. And now he's coming back to work, and he's trying to show a good, strong face because everyone's clapping and cheering for him. What is Bobby going to do next? How's Bobby going to help us? So he has that pressure on him. And then also, he just went through this entire crazy court case the past basically year of his life. He is coming back first day of work doing all of this. Yeah, no, buddy's not right.
And, well, you know what? It's all about making him and them even that much more wealthy. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing altruistic. So, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm probably going to piss off a lot of your fans. But, no, I'm not really Team Axe right now.
I'm not either. No, I'm on the same thing. I'm Team Taylor right now.
Team Taylor.
Yeah.
And you know, it was, anyway.
But. Yeah. Well, there was a great scene kind of, you know, at one of the last scenes where we see Taylor decides, no, I'm not going home right now. And Bobby's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not leaving either. And it's this great shot that they had. It's a wide shot of both of their offices lit up. And you can see them kind of in that parallel, universe of them working. Mm-hmm. But are they really working? Is this this power struggle? And that's what it is.
Who's going to stay on the treadmill longer?
Who's going to stay on the treadmill longer? Who's going to stay
later? Remember what Wendy loves about Chuck is he won't give up. Mm-hmm. And he's running in the morning, and I could have run forever. Yeah. And this is exactly what's going
on. And this brings Bobby back to where he was. He still hasn't learned. He's saying no to a dinner, having his assistant go to dinner with his children.
With his children. Just who, ironically, he just now created a war with
the mother.
The mother over to be with the kids.
To be with the kids.
And instead, I'm going to stay at my desk to be on the treadmill
longer.
And send
my assistant to go do this.
And you know what I say? Yeah. I think when you're more involved, because I was thinking to myself, Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been running on a treadmill and the person next to you is running and you're
running? I haven't stayed longer. I've increased my speed to kind of be like, I'm faster for whatever reason, not because I actually care. It's just this weird thing
that
comes out
thing.
Inside
so
of you. Yeah.
When I was younger,
yeah.
I would have done that too.
Yeah.
Older, I go, yeah, you win.
Yeah.
I'm getting off. I have other things to do. I know, but I think when you evolve past this kind of machismo, high testosterone, alpha male bullshit, and unfortunately with our president, and I voted for the guy, so you know what, so take that for what it is, but it's that what disappoints me about Trump and in the right alpha male type, some big dogs I'm talking about, is that same prepubescent pride and ego.
Doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and it's like, God, I get it when you're in your 20s. I get it when you're even in your mid-30s. But at some point, you just go, what? Like, there's bigger things in life. Yeah,
Your family. Your children at dinner are disappointed with you.
Right? It starts with that. And hopefully, with other people, can go even further to the world. And, look at, God, who's the other, not Steve Jobs, but the other guy from the PC world. I'm so bad at this. Anthony in the booth. Who's the
Microsoft?
Yeah, who's that guy? Why, this is awful. I'm going to get crucified.
Bill Gates?
Yes. Okay. But look at his.
Oh, Bill Gates.
But all his initiatives.
I thought there was someone new you were talking about.
No, but his initiatives now have gone beyond. Yeah. I want to make $80 billion, right? It's all about him donating money here. I want to build this. I want to. I know he wants to figure out the world's water problem. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and Mark Zuckerberg, whether we believe him or not, same thing. He wants
to do more than just the money.
And I think that's the millennial spirit that Taylor represents.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. But something else that, that may come to bite the company and axe in the butt is, let's talk about Ari getting fired, and then he comes back.
Oh, Spiros. Oh my God, no,
so
please. Yeah, no, this was amazing.
Yeah, we need to chat about this. So, of course, I never thought he was going to sit. Of course he's going to get the boot. You try and get Wendy in trouble, you bring all of the whole entire ex-cap down. No, you're getting kicked out. And I love the two of them. I love Wags and Bobby just standing there, blank face.
Blank face. Well, the Beatles come to mind again. And he says, Pete Best, you know who Pete Best was?
No.
Pete Best was the original drummer to the Beatles.
Okay, gotcha.
And before they became the Beatles.
He left them, right?
No, they fired him.
Oh, they fired him.
So he lost, it's world renowned, that this guy lost hundreds of millions. And basically just went and worked in factories and, had a normal civilian life, but he was that close to greatness. But the great thing is when Axe says, no, that's not who. I was thinking of the other one. And I'm thinking, he's thinking John Lennon, who got shot.
Yeah.
But we come to find out it's in a just great Koppelman twist, George Harrison. I'm like, how are we going to George Harrison? Mm-hmm. I'm wrecking my brain. He lived on an island for a period of time. Then he came back and made music, after the 70s. And it was because he formed a band called the Traveling Wilburys with Bob Dylan, Tom Petty. God, I'm so sorry, guys. I have brain. Yes, and who was the Roy Orbison? And basically, it was based on friends who were just unbelievable musical artists who just wanted to hang out and jam. And that was what it was. And they got together. Can you bring an end of the line, Anthony? End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, you got it. Give me
bring
a
it
moment.
In. But anyway, and it's great how they then start referencing Jack Nicholson, the actor. And he's like, oh, he's a Wilbury. Because if you knew Nicholson was kind of that kind of cool rebel guy. And Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss, a great actor, not a Wilbury. Because he's more straight-laced, more nerdy. And it was like, Spiros, you're not a Wilbury.
He's like, I'm so a Wilbury.
What about him? I sense a disturbance in the forest. Here's the thing. We need this guy.
He just does
so
all of it.
So as much as he's going
back.
To now, he's going to put a nail in their car. He's going to make such a mess of their lives. Mm-hmm. I'm so thrilled that he gets his reprieve.
Yeah, he gets fired and then he comes on back because this is where we see kind of a character change in development in Dollar Bill. Great song.
Yes,
like
right?
This.
So Wags, after he's fired, Wags, I feel 5 years younger. So great. Oh, I love Wags. Right,
Wags
so
is great. And Wags we also see now, too, because Wags has been in the power role when Bobby's been gone.
Yeah.
You see Wags just kind of literally right behind Bobby's shoulder in
Loves
every
it.
Shot.
So
in
happy.
In every shot, he's like, good, I'm done. I can just have fun
and
again.
Also,
I'm like, I'm with Bobby.
Oh, and he loves Bobby.
Yeah,
and
they're best friends.
And he loves being number two. He loves being behind the man. I love that, too. I've been on shows that I've produced behind a showrunner. Roadrunner that I mm-hmm. so believe in. I love it. Or yeah. a star, a town I believe
that
in.
That feeling, yeah.
It's awesome.
You're like, yeah, they're back. We're at it. But so Ari gets fired and Dollar Bill comes in and he's reigning in the whole glory of, yes, my enemy is gone. He's gone. And, you know, Ari's like, well, you know, I have something for you. I have something that's going to make people a lot of money. Do you want to hear it? And Dollar Bill just kind of walks out. But because he's Dollar Bill and he's, you know, little nutso, but also just can't control himself.
Right. Well, again, he's weaker. That's why he's not Bobby. Mm-hmm. Never will be. That's why he'll be a multimillionaire, not a billionaire.
Yeah, he listens.
Bites the bait.
Yeah, takes the bait, bites it, and listens to Ari. And Ari's basically proposing, hey, I have all this insider info from when I worked with the government of all of these other companies that are going to be on the radar now by the SEC. And do you want to look into them and see what ones are actually going to get in trouble and who you can short and who you can long gain with and make a lot of money?
And you'll have a second shot at Wilbury status.
Yeah, Wilbury status.
And they just crack up. He'll never be a Wilbury. I mean, but
yeah. And so now he's back. But what do we think about that, though? Do we think that this is going to be the demise, or
by the way, there's like 20 different means of demises on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, Lara, like, that's a mistake. You know, don't mess with her.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, this is going to lead to so many bad things. But then the stuff with the natural gas and the Secretary of Treasury. Oh, my God. Colossal mistake.
And this is all like day one, week one of him being back.
Being competitive with Taylor. Colossal mistake. No, there's plenty of things. But absolutely, this is going to make a mess. Can we, you know, it was interesting, too. Another thing that I think is going to come back and haunt them is notice when Wendy said, hey, Axe, I need some of your people's help. And he said, oh, absolutely. She's like, something for my family. No problem. But we're not using those guys anymore. We're going back to the old guy, right? So what happens to our two little millennial security people?
I don't know. I think they couldn't get the job done that one time.
But they were quite formidable, were they not, Nadine?
Yeah, they were really good.
And don't you think they're going to be back? There's no way. They were too prominent. They were too prominent the characters. They focused too much on them. They represent that millennial culture.
Yeah.
No way do they just get traded out on this series and we don't see them again.
They'll get back for there has to be when something else breaks and something else huge explodes.
No, I think.
What do you think?
It could be Chuck gets to them. Okay. Or it could be Taylor.
Uses them to get more info.
Which is the millennials working together.
See, I don't know. I think that they're more loyal than that. Feel like with that job, you have to have some type of loyalty as well. In order to actually be successful.
I think they're loyal to their employer.
Yeah, but to tell secrets from past employers?
Maybe not, but maybe it's... So maybe it's not... Yeah. So maybe it's not with Chuck. Maybe it's with Taylor.
Okay.
And it's not past secrets. It's she's going to need them for some new kick-ass stuff. And their guns
Bobby
for hire.
Line.
And he fired them.
Yeah.
Again, like, same thing with Connerty.
Yeah.
So we're going to see them again. It's just very interesting.
See them come back, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Lara, too. Let's talk about that entire scene. She comes in, and you know what? I'm actually really excited to have Melanie Ackerman, the actress that plays her, come back in because I love her, and I think she plays it so well.
Right.
She's good for Bobby, too. And we kind of Was good for Bobby. We see the post of what's happened going through the scandal. And how a marriage couldn't last through it.
Right.
And it's now fallen so hard where contracts are being signed to the point where she's in lockdown for 7 years.
She's in lockdown.
She can't touch a lot of the money, only some of it, and also can't move away. The kids can't leave till they're 18.
Well, they spiraled from, hey, 50-50, it's yours, and we're still besties, to he's now attaching all these strings to her decisions and her money, and she's like, whoa, 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 what's
going on?
And he's like, you tried to take my kids.
Yeah.
So guess what? Now you can't be trusted. So you're going to have your money, but I control it.
I control
it's not
it, yeah.
basically it's like it's not your half of the money. It's not that half of the money is not yours.
Just yet.
I'm giving it to you. And I will allot where
it goes.
That's
the power control he has there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but it now this is how their relationship has gone downhill, but it's again, to me there's a parallel between this and what's going on in Chuck's world, because this was not the time to do this. You know, just the way Chuck fired Connerty out of emotion, I think again this was an emotional play. I don't think this was rational because you know she was your partner.
Oh yeah,
meaning she just like Wendy is every bit worthy of being Chuck's partner, and now we know greater.
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out that Lara is every bit as worthy to be equal to Axel.
She was his ride or die.
But we will find out she's greater.
Greater, yeah.
Than him. And they should have been in this together and for him to have done it. Now, just like I asked you to see the flip side of Chuck Sr. and Foley, again, handled it out of ego and out of emotion, did not handle it right. But I could see the not getting behind a guy that's going to a dominatrix dungeon once a week. Can you see the pathos of Axe being like, these are my kids. I want, you can't take my kids from me. You're going to play that game with me every 5 minutes, I don't pick them up from Little League. No, I need to now take advantage just because I love my kids and I want them with me to 18.
Mm-hmm.
So do you?
I mean, I do see it, but I think he can go about it in different ways. So the Billions Writers Room, this is part of the news, but they tweeted, "We remind you this is fiction, and a 7-year lockup on your wife and kids for 1 in 10 management fees is not an agreement to aspire to. Except for you, Hedgies, you take notes."
Here's the thing.
By the way,
to the point that it is fiction.
Yeah.
If she didn't have a lawyer look that over, I've seen more contracts in Hollywood ripped up because the other party did not have an attorney present.
To look it over,
Notice the assistant was there to be present. Mm-hmm. They needed a witness for her to sign it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry. Oh, and I have another favor. And this is to answer my own question. Why I don't see his side is because if his side was, I want to be with my kids. I want to be with my kids. I want to be with my kids. And you're taking away my kids. And I'm sorry. I'm going to have to make this power move because you're going to take away my kids. But we see in the later scene, he doesn't want to be with his kids.
He doesn't go to dinner.
He wants to be on the treadmill longer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why this is not a good thing. But to me, it was when Gordy, the son, sits with Wendy, starts opening Wendy. Auntie Wendy starts to help and bang, in comes
Lara comes in.
And I loved it.
And that explosion.
You love this, Lara doing this?
I did love it too because she had just come downstairs from her entire kind of her life being changed and altered to coming down to this. Now her son or child, that's her baby. You don't talk to her baby with a woman that you already are enemies with.
And no,
she is not taking anything lightly.
And I think Lara's got her number.
Yeah.
Like, you're the Black Widow. I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know the control. And she said, you might have control over all these men, but not me.
Yeah.
You know, and you stay away from my son. She is not family because she's not.
Yeah.
I love this. I think it sets up something. I think
there's going to be craziness.
A battle later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think even maybe potentially they'll be the ones to get on the same page, I think, for the greater good.
Yeah.
Probably toward the end of the series.
Yeah.
But man, God, even Gordy is scarred. Scar tissue is not stronger, just rougher. I saw you reacted to that line.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
Is it hilarious or is it poignant?
True. Yeah, or it's true. Yeah. That was great. That was an episode. That was awesome.
Well, listen. So do you want to?
What else do you have there?
Well, I could go to. I want to go. Okay, so I'm going to go to some of my translations for you.
Yeah, let's do your billionaires, millennials,
my millennium translator.
There it is.
Thank you. All right, so we already went over Charles Van Dorn and Quiz Show, so I gave you that one. Let's see. Oh, let's see. No, I'll take the car too. Okay, so when Taylor says, I'll take the car too, and later on it's like there's a line about the game shows. Did you catch that line? He says, let's see, where is here my notes? Sorry. Oh, but that's not all.
That's not all. Yeah.
So, you know, usually the game show is when you get a car. I'll take the car too. Yeah. But that's not all. It's a game show, which is game
but
show.
But that's not all. You also get this one.
This
TV.
This brand new car.
Yeah.
And again, this is a callback to Charles Van Dorn and Quiz Show.
There we go.
Which I thought was
pretty cool. The writing is just beautiful.
J Block, roller derby. Recently, I don't know why, I went on this study of roller derby.
I was watching a show that had it, and the LA Derby girls, I've been wanting to go and see them.
Okay, we should
check
them out.
We should go. That's what I'm saying.
But in the 50s, this was as big as anything on television.
Okay.
And these women, you know, it was wrestling on roller skates. Mm-hmm. Professional wrestling is what it was. And anyway, just interesting that what a J block is, that's one of the maneuvers you would use to come together and knock someone out. But interesting, he says women's roller derby, and he talks about strong women in fishnets. He goes, you know? And then Chuck says, Yeah, I do. And right, because that's he's all about power women and fishnets.
Oh yeah, right? He loves that. That's what turns them on.
There's another line about I have some real Clarence Beak shit from Ari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when he talks about the deal.
Yes. What was that?
Okay, that's from the movie Trading Places.
Okay.
There's the lackey who works underneath the two rich guys, Mortimer, and there's two old men.
Mm-hmm.
That, do you know the movie Trading Places?
With I haven't seen it, but I know
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you have.
We've lots of movies to watch.
I'm gonna make a movie list. So it is an Eddie movie, Dan Aykroyd classic film. These two old guys pull off a scheme to make their one of their money making schemes, and they have a lackey who works them. He's named Clarence Beaks.
Okay.
He kind of does all the dirty
work.
Gotcha.
Okay. So he's the Clarence Beaks of the situation.
Yeah. He's like, this is some Clarence Beaks shit. Meaning like, yeah, I can be the one to work this inside deal.
Gotcha.
And make us a lot of money.
I also love that. Ari, him packing everything up and then still trying. No, but let me stay.
Yeah.
Here's my stuff.
Here endeth the lesson. That was what the one of the females said to Kate in the scene where Carnegie got fired. That's from the movie The Untouchables. Kevin Costner, who played Elliot Ness, says it to Robert De Niro, who plays Al Capone, when he finally busts him at the end.
Oh, man.
Right? And so
that's a good one.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go. Let's see.
Those are translators?
I need a silkwood shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the movie Silkwood. And that's when you would take like a long hot shower to decontaminate yourself because they worked at this kind of contaminated factory.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was known as...
Well, you can't have that shower yet because the judge was there waiting for him. Yeah.
The judge.
Yep, I remember when he said that. Yeah.
There you go. And you know what? You know, I think that was it for this week for my translations. I think so.
All right.
I think I got them all because we talked about a lot of them during the show. Anyway.
You should have like the bubble the next time, you know, next season should be your little bubble pops up as the show's going on and it's Kevin's translation there.
My little millennial translator.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you for that. Should we hop on to news?
News
time.
What do you have?
Well, I have actually another. I was just, the Billions Writers Room has just been cracking me up. I love their Twitter feed.
Okay.
And so one thing that kind of comes from them for this episode was Black Jack Foley when he's saying, when Rhodes comes in and he catches him in the hotel room. And he's basically like, do you understand that the power now has changed, the power has shifted? He says, yeah, it's clear as Catskill spring water.
Yes.
So what the Billions Writers Room did, they said the clear rankings by Black Jack Foley. Number one would be Catskill spring water. Two is crystal, as in crystal clear. And three is clear as day. So I just thought that was hilarious. That's and it's really tied into what we were doing.
Are you following the... their feed?
Yeah, oh yeah, following their feed.
Yeah, because he you know, I follow Koppelman because I love his podcast, and he always says, just wait and save your questions for tonight.
Yeah.
So he's always watching.
They're always tweeting and putting it out, yeah,
it's so
great.
It's hard for us to give you that because obviously we're
just so quickly
come in here minutes after, and that's why, you know, it's fun to get you guys your shout-outs on YouTube and on iTunes. It's a good reminder to do that. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating and leave your comments. And if you're watching on YouTube, same thing. Leave your comments there, and we'll read them and take them under consideration. And if there's things we missed, please let us know. Because it's hard. It would be. I was almost saying to the producers here, I'm like, God, if we literally need like at minimum 2 hours
to
post show,
or
to watch this show twice. And then have the time prep. But we do our best.
We watch it. We come in here without even chatting with each other. Wait. And we talk to you guys. So
I should
put
you on the spot. Do you have any shout-outs? Any fan shout-outs?
Shout-outs right
now?
Are
we still in news?
I do not know. Yeah, we're still in news.
Still in news. Okay. So, Vogue magazine had an interesting article about how Billions is a lot more like real life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about what's going on with the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman.
Yes, this story's interesting.
And his insane kind of sex life and what he's doing, and how close is this to...
It is so relatable, and I think it just shows that, you know, whenever there's any type of high, people in high power, just like with Rhodes, where his skeletons were going to come out under if he ran for governor, you know, with his dungeon-loving wife and him and what they do, the same thing is now happening in real life, where sex scandals kind of rule, and they trump, you know, a lot of the news that we hear, which is kind of like, man, let people do their own thing, but also, like, if it's bad enough, people need to hear about what you're doing behind closed doors.
Listen, there you go, Nadine. You can say hi to some of the people who reached out to, especially your fans. But lastly, I'll say for the news, Mike Birabiglia, is the one playing Oscar. He's playing the quasi love interest of Taylor. I just want to just give him a shout out. Now it's funny. Koppelman, I think, is a bigger fan of his than we realize, because he's an unbelievable writer, director, and a filmmaker. And if you haven't seen his film, Don't Think Twice, if you love independent comedies, you got to see it.
Go check it
out.
And I
only saw it because we're doing the show, and I knew this character was being introduced, so I went and did research on it. I'm like, checked out the film this week, and I think it's actually on Netflix, Don't Think Twice. It was phenomenal.
Amazing.
This guy's so talented.
Good.
And anyway, so I think, and Koppelman, I know, has tweeted at him, and they've tweeted.
Worth it to check it out?
Yeah, absolutely is.
All right, we'll do that.
And that'd be the news, I think. Oh, and the other thing is, I know this is a couple of weeks ago, the third Ortolan, that species of bird, that's actually based on...
That's truth.
Yes. Yeah. That there are people out there that it's a delicacy to get endangered species and eat them.
Would you eat them?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's bad. I hate myself for eating way I do now.
Can we just go have like a salad but put a napkin on our head and then just like
pretend? Yeah, we can do all
Let's
that
do that. Stuff. Let's still put the napkin on our head because that sounds fun.
Yeah,
how about that?
Or have Jello. Jello's
or Jello. The Jello's great.
When you're not having a good time.
Yeah, let's do that.
But it's creepy, and it's always like the billionaires. You know, there's another movie.
They like those exotic things that you have to pay for.
In the movie The Freshman, another movie maybe.
Yes,
you should
I've
see.
Seen The Freshman.
Okay, that
I
was the same
the
thing.
Freshman.
Do you remember? It was that endangered species.
Yeah.
Everyone was paying for the Komodo dragon to eat it, which of course it was a scam, and as Marlon Brando said so well, the scam is an ugly word. But it was based on the same thing everyone was gonna pay this expensive amount of money to be able to
just
eat
because it was
the
rare.
Last
Yeah. And just because it was rare, because it's the last to have, just to feel
boy.
Special. People will pay to feel special.
Well, again, talk about
works.
When you have just too much money for your own good. Anyway, that's all the news for this
week. That's all the news. And we'll do a few shout-outs right now, too. Thank you very much to Jamie Motler for the Nadine and Hard Eyes. That's very pretty and nice. And also thank you to Eric Lemus, Lance Corona, Richie B, Yogi Lion. Thank you to everyone that watches and talks to us. I love chatting with you guys back on the YouTube chat. And we will be here next week, same time. Where can they find you, Mr. Undergaro?
You can find me at Undergaro, and listen, I know you guys, you fans of this show, you like to rock the high, which is the really smarter fare shows, but you know what, if you're anything like me and you're sometimes tired of thinking, check me out on the AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore
after
show. Thursday nights live, and then, of course, available on demand. We have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I dress like a Guido, and you know
he
what?
He looks great, though.
I'm very proud to do it. It's a lot of fun. You should come do it with us one day, Nadine.
We have
a lot of fun on that show. And then also AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue, if you're a fan of Bar Rescue and that kind of reality fare, which is, again, a little on the smarter side. And you know what else? Because I'm such a busy guy.
You are so busy. Where else?
Wednesday nights, I am in a Star Trek costume with a crew of millennials in Star Trek costumes on the bridge of our own spaceship for the show called The Tomorrow Show.
The Tomorrow Show.
So that's at Undergaro, but that's enough out of me.
There it is. There's a lot of places to find you. And you can find me on social media and here at AfterBuzz at Nadine Della Pella. Thank you very much once again, guys.
Nadine, are you doing any other shows?
Next week. I am coming up
what
in
are you
June.
Doing?
Oh, I'm going to be doing The Affair starting June 17th.
I'm obsessed with
The
Affair. And then, you know, Anthony in the Booth, have you heard anything about Patrick? There's a Showtime series that they've been advertising with... anyway, I don't know. Maybe our fans can tell us if it's worth Patrick Melrose. Have you guys heard this? I always get excited when Showtime or HBO
has something new.
Because
they're
great. It's their trusted brands, right?
Trusted. It's good. Just like AfterBuzz TV. We'll give you some good stuff.
Yeah, but please, guys, let us know where we... where we screwed up or what we left out. And I don't know, I like keeping us on track. Yeah. And thanks to Frank. Frank had to take off to go and do another show.
Yeah, we didn't just, suppress him underneath the table and choke him and kill him. Are you okay down there? No, yeah, he's still breathing. He's still alive, guys. Next week he'll be back with us. See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.